You know, it seems like we just finished Days of Unleavened Bread and Passover. Believe it or not, 2 weeks from tomorrow is Pentecost. We've counted 7 weeks. We're not to Pentecost. How'd that happen? Prior to this, we had the awesome opportunity to observe and participate in the Passover, celebrating the representing serving one another in humility during the foot washing ceremony, and partaking of the symbols of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. After which we share the feast of days, the days of unleavened bread, giving us the opportunity to seek and root out the leaven and of sin in our lives. Do this every year. These days of observance not only represent the Israelites coming out of bondage in Egypt, but more importantly, coming out of the bondage of carnal, godless society we must live in every day. Look around, it's everywhere, look, everywhere you see. You can't get away from it. We have to get away from it, but it's there. The Feast of Pentecost represents the harvesting of the spring first fruits of the physical harvest, or the spiritual first fruits, which Jesus Christ is first, which was discussed, well, will be discussed on the day of Pentecost. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not only this, but he, God, has provided a way to obtain this thing called everlasting life. How? First, my favorite scripture here, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you, including eternal life. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slacking his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance of what? Sin? Well, what is sin? Sin is a transgression or breaking of God's law. God's law, 1 John 3:4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Is it just saying, I'm sorry, and going on with life? No. It says, repentance is not merely just saying, I'm sorry, and then going on doing what you've always been doing, but rather a change of one's attitude and conduct that we may be converted or in reality turned around. It's like you could do a U-turn, you know. You see this, and there's something happening up here in front of you. You don't want to be a part of that. You don't want to be in that accident. You make a U-turn and come back out of it. But guess what? There is more. In Acts 3:37, now when they had heard this, they were all gathered together at Pentecost. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. Let's turn to Hebrews 9. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Meaning through repentance and baptism, we receive forgiveness and no longer should feel guilty for our past sins. Many of us, I'd say most of us, probably go through our whole life. Our past sins or things that we've done keep coming up in our mind. How can I get over that? Will God forgive me? He does forgive you, but we have to put that behind us and go forward. In so in Acts in 2:30, Acts 2:38, let's continue there. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, if used, leading us to eternal life in the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit has to be used. It's a tool. God gives us the tools for conversion. If we don't, we have to use the tools to do what we need to do. If you'd like a more in-depth study, there's a booklet called, it's back here, Transforming Your Life, The Process of Conversion. Conversion is a constant struggle or challenge we have in our life. We're always converting. But what was that we shall receive? It's not something just to give it. It was a gift. It's not something that's just earned. You didn't go get a diploma and earn it. It was a gift that was given to you. We had to do something to receive that gift. It's not just given to us because God loves us. God does love us. That's why it's offered to us. But with gifts comes an expectation. If I give one of you kids a bicycle as a gift, what would I expect you to do with that bicycle? Ride it? Yeah, learn to ride it. This gift is more valuable than anything on earth could ever buy, more precious than gold or silver, or all the money in the whole world. The Spirit of God convicts our conscience, helps us to see sin as it really is. Do you see sin out there? Do you see people sin? Do you see sin being offered to you? Do you want to partake of that and grab that as part of your gift? No, you don't. It's not something just to be accepted and hidden away. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. It has to be used. Just like the parable of the talents in Matthew 25:14-30, which I'm going to read now to you. If you'd like to turn there with me, you can. In Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his own ability. God knows that his master knew what they were able to do. And immediately he went on his journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made 5 more talents. Likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received just 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, we don't know how long this time was supposed to be, but after a long time, the Lord, the master of those servants, came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 more talents. Look, I have gave 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to them, Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. God wasn't particularly interested in how many it was. It was that they used the towns to as a tool. So enter into the joy of the Lord. In verse 24, then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Had he taken that one talent and gained 10, you think his position would have been a little bit different, wouldn't it? Yeah. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what's yours. It's over there buried. You want to dig it up yourself? It's there, you know. Yeah. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you know that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to, or should have, deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I have received back my own, along with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him, this is the catcher right here, who has not, does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, that's God's spirit. We can't just hide it. We need to use it. When it's taken away, it's taken away. You know, I don't know how to put it. It's just, it's a hard thing to think of that God gives you out of his mercy and love, his spirit, so we can develop and overcome our sins, develop more like him. Should we just throw that away? Just throw it in the trash or whatever, you know, bury it in the ground? We should be using it. We should be growing with it, you know? But I'd ask you something here. If you please read this again, meditate on it on your own. You may also read a similar account in Luke 19, verses 12 to 27. Well, Luke 12:32 says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants you to give you the kingdom. But if you don't use the Holy Spirit, you just throw away the key. You can't change a lock and get another key. It's gone. It's done. Revelation 20, verse 6 reads, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God, and Christ shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Back in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 34. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on his throne of glory. All the nations will gather before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We have to remember the Father and Jesus Christ have been working from the foundation of the world, from the beginning, not from Genesis, from the beginning, before that, to give us the greatest gift ever, eternal life in the kingdom of God. So please let us use it, the Holy Spirit, to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which you can read in Galatians 5, 22. Let's turn there. Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's a big one. Against such there is no law. Excuse me. How? Through prayer, Bible study, occasional fasting as we see need or have the need, and especially serving one another as Jesus Christ set the example. Between now and the next holy day, the Feast of Trumpets, which represents His or Jesus Christ's return, let us be about the developing more of God's Holy Spirit by using it to the fullest extent of our ability, not hiding it. Let us hear these words, "Come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And again, thinking of Revelation 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God, and Christ shall reign with him 1,000 years. Let's go forward. Let's use that tool that God gave us to develop his character.